the gospel is so wonderful, beautiful, and simple. And it's so sad how religious people complicate it. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Hallelujah. So, how did Christ redeem us from the curse of the law? Brethren, it is past tense. Hallelujah. Hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. He did that by being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He did it in two ways. First, he poured out his blood on that tree of the cross at Passover, outside of the gates of the city of Jerusalem.
On Wednesday, yes, it was Wednesday, not Friday, it was Wednesday.
At dark on Nisan 14, he was the Lamb of God. Messiah is our Passover. He laid down his godhood to be made a curse for us, brethren. Can you imagine that? Yes, God Almighty, laying down his godhood, taking on flesh so that he might even be made a curse for us. Not only was he the Lamb of God, not only was he the perfect sacrifice for sin, but he also was made a curse for us.
Now, in understanding that he laid down his godhood and that he became a curse, because cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, we still must know that he was the sin offering. He never became sin. Sin had no part in him. Satan had nothing in him. He was the perfect, spotless sin offering. Though he became a curse by being willing to lay down his godhood and be nailed to that cursed cross and become a curse for us, that any and all curses could be broken by his perfect sacrifice, he never was sin. He was the sin offering, and that is so important we understand that. Hallelujah.
That we might be set free from the curse of the law. The curses tied with violations of the law can be broken by the word, blood, and spirit of Yeshua. Jesus Christ died for sinners. We have all sinned, brethren. We're all in the same leaky boat. He laid down his godhood and power as creator to become our redeemer. All glory to God, brethren. Hallelujah. He did that greatest demonstration of love and mercy because of my sins. Wow. And your sins. Wow. Such great love for a sinner like me. It is beyond my understanding. I don't think I could even believe you if you told me that you fully understand that great love and mercy for a sinner like me or a sinner like you. But the Word of God, who cannot lie, says Christ hath redeemed, past tense, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, most people today, in the great apostasy and great falling away from faith, treat the law like it's some sort of a curse. Brethren, there's nothing that could be further from the truth. I mean, that is absolute, total apostasy. Paul would say, God forbid, how could you ever be so reprobate as to think that? Galatians 3:13, one of the most profound verses for us to understand in this time. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Is the law a curse? It is sad how many think that it is. First, we should ask, what law are you talking about? Brethren, one of the most important questions to ask the only teacher that Yeshua said we could trust in these days of strong delusion is, what law are we talking about? The Holy Ghost will let you know which of the four basic types of law that are mentioned in the Scriptures that we're talking about whenever you come across that little three-letter word, law. What law? What law? What law? What an important question. Brethren, whenever anybody, and I mean anybody, who presumes to teach God's people mentions that word law, ask, what law? Now, here are the four basic types of law that we find in the Scripture. Number one, the law of sin and death. And this is the law that the blood of Jesus, and only the blood of Jesus, saves us from. The curse of the law of sin and death is death. The the law of sin and death is the law from which the blood of Yeshua saves us. And what is the law of sin and death? Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Read Ezekiel 18 for a full explanation of this, and you'll really have an answer. You know, you wonder how some of these great theologians of Reformation history could have ever possibly had the arguments that they had if they had ever read Ezekiel 18. Because the answers are there. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. The blood of Yeshua is the only hope of having a part in the first resurrection. The second kind of law is the law of Moses. 613 commandments, laws, ordinances, mitzvot. Even to this day, 613 laws. Now some of these, like circumcision and the Levitical priesthood, are done away in the New Covenant through the better priesthood of our great high priest, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And if we were smart enough, though, brethren, we would see that many of these make very, very good sense today. However, we do have glorious freedom in Messiah. And the third kind of law is the oral law. This is the additions and deletions and changes that religious men make to laws of Scripture. And you find Yeshua giving his strongest rebukes to religious people over this oral law, changing the law, making the law of God of none effect by their traditions. He rebuked religious people for this practice, and this is something that obviously God hates when religious people use this oral law with its additions and its deletions and changes and traditions and perverse doctrines of religious men that you do not find in the Holy Bible. What's a perverse doctrine? Any doctrine that is religious, it has to be religious, any religious doctrine that you cannot find good Bible for. That means two or more witnesses. And this is often the law, this oral law is often the law which Paul and the apostles were referring to when they talk in a seemingly negative vein regarding the law. And the fourth kind of law is God's royal law, the Ten Commandments, the law of love, life, and liberty. The royal law of God, the law of love. It is the everlasting covenant. Jesus wrote these ten simple instructions in love in stone so that no one could change these ten simple, perfect instructions about love, life, and liberty. And this is the law that the real Holy Ghost, the one that makes you holy, writes on every circumcised heart. The Holy Ghost causes born-again believers to want to keep the royal law of love, life, and liberty. Born-again people see this as the only right response to the great love of God in Messiah Yeshua dawning on one's heart. Break these laws and you deceive yourself if you think you will escape. And yes, it still includes the fourth commandment. It's an insult to God to call Lucifer's sun god day the Lord's day. If we don't keep all of his Ten Commandments in the tribulation, we will not likely be one of those who is able to endure to the end of the great tribulation. If we don't love and delight in God's Sabbath, we're in trouble and don't even know it. It is unrighteousness by definition, and that's why Jesus said to pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. Tribulation is the time context of that neglected instruction. Why? Because the curse of the law will catch up with you instead of the blessings of obedience that overtake you. What law? Good question. Glad you asked. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Sin is the transgression, or the overstepping, or the violation of the law of God. Sin is a violation of the royal law of love. We should not be ignorant of the law of Moses or of the 780 commandments. Yeah, did you know there's 780 commandments in the New Testament? Ignorance can really hurt in these perilous times, brethren. The law is not a curse. There are curses that you will get if you break the law. And brethren, there are blessings that will overtake you if you keep the law. When we are taught that the law of God is a curse, we have been wrongly taught, to say the least. David was a man after God's own heart. And why did God, in Acts 13:22, give David one of the highest commendations in all of Scripture? All you have to do is read Psalm 119, and you'll see. So how did Christ redeem us from the curse of the law? It is past tense. Hallelujah. Hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. He did that by being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. He poured out his blood on that tree of that cross.
On Wednesday.
At Passover. On Nisan 14 at dark in AD 30 outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem.
Though having never committed sin. Though not having anything to do with sin. Though he became the sin offering. When he became the sin offering, he suffered the curse of the law of sin and death. Yes, he suffered the curse of the law of sin and death. Had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He suffered the curse of the law of sin and death, and what Satan did was violate the law of sin and death. And because Messiah was willing to suffer the curse of the law of sin and death, all curses can now be broken. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, Satan violated the law of sin and death. Death was not to be put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew no sin. Because there was no sin on him, because he knew no sin, and Satan caused him to die. Because Satan motivated the princes of this world to hang the Lamb of God on that cross, that cursed cross, because Messiah, our King, was willing to do that, willing to endure that curse of the law, because he suffered the curse of the law of sin and death, because he suffered death illegally, and Satan broke that law of sin and death, God then had a legal right to extend mercy to us sinners, maintaining his perfect justice, righteousness, and integrity, confining and consigning Satan and the demonic host to the lake of fire known as hell that we all deserve. But we can find mercy through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the perfect once-for-all sin sacrifice. Glory to God.
He laid down his godhood to be made a curse for us. Yes, Jesus Christ died for sinners. He laid down his godhood and power as creator to become our redeemer. Hallelujah. This much I do understand, that he did not do that to give me a license to sin. He did not do that to do away with the law. He did that to redeem me from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a worthy King. And here's the sad part of it all. Most of us have been so wrongly taught that we don't even know some laws have curses tied to them. Yes, specific curses are tied to some laws. And we, by way of the devil's various ministers, have been taught the law is a curse rather than the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You can bet your last shekel that the devil knows every curse tied with every law. Brethren, it is a lie of the devil when anybody tells you that the law is some sort of a curse. And you better know that the devil knows every curse that's tied with every law. And when you see the laws that have curses tied to them, you can see why this Antichrist agenda of this world, which is totally in the control of the Antichrist now. All the governments of this world are Antichrist governments. Don't kid yourself that there is any government anywhere. There's no place to run, but there is a place to hide. We can hide in Messiah. And we better wake up and figure out that those curses tied to those laws, when we violate those laws, give the devil a license to hammer us. Brethren, this is the Antichrist war on the saints. And all hell is about to break loose on this earth. And this brings us to the second way that Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He did that by being the only one who can baptize us with the Holy Ghost. One thing we better know about the real Holy Ghost is that the real Holy Ghost will make you holy. And the real Holy Ghost makes us holy by giving us the power to say no to sin. He puts the want to in our heart, that we understand this law right, and not the perverted ways that various ministers of Satan teach us. And this is the second way that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He gives us the power of the Holy Ghost to say no to sin. And don't you think it's about time we learn what laws have curses tied to them? I'm going to put it up on the website, a list of the specific laws, a list of these on the website, a list of the specific laws, and probably I won't get it comprehensive. There'll probably be some that I don't have, but I'm going to give the actual scriptures. Now, one of the things that you have to understand is there was a curse tied to any law that had a death penalty attached to the violation of that law. Remember, now, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So if there was a death penalty tied to a given law, that meant that there was a curse tied to that law, that violations of that law gave Satan's a legal license, if you will, to go in and destroy the people of God. So the only way, since there was no way to break a curse until Jesus became a curse for us on Calvary, since there was no way to break a curse, the only way it could be controlled, the only way the disastrous effects of the devil's operation and license that he had to operate on God's people was by putting that severe penalty on it. So anytime that you read any law that has a death penalty offense associated with it, you need to understand that there was a curse tied to that, which gave Satan legal ground to hammer the people of God. And it's time that we learn what laws have curses tied to them. The devil knows what laws have curses tied to them, and that's why you see this Antichrist agenda in this world gone nuts in this Antichrist war on the saints. The devil knows those curses tied to those laws give him a license to hammer us. And the devil hates you and me. The devil hates every human being, because human beings were designed to take his place in the place of the worshiping angels when they went into rebellion following him. The devil hates every human being. He wants to destroy every single human being. All he wants to do with you and me is to lie to us, to deceive us, and to keep us ignorant enough for him to kill us and destroy us. You want the devil to hammer on you? Just keep violating those laws that have curses tied to them, and you will be hammered. I do know this also. If, and it's a big if, brethren, but if I am submitted to God, then I can resist the devil, and he will flee from me. I've also figured out some of the things that the devil knows. I have the power of the Holy Ghost. That power of the Holy Ghost first makes me want to obey God. It's not that I don't have to keep the law. Rather, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I want to keep the law. The blessings of keeping the law overtake me. The devil's license to hammer me is taken away because Yeshua has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Now, that's not given a license, brethren. It's redeeming us from the curse, having a way that the curse can be broken, having a way that that license that Satan gets can be taken away from him, a way that we can stop him from hammering us, and not only that, if we're in submission to God, actually put him on the defensive, actually put him in full retreat. The whole host of hell ought to be in full retreat over one man of God who would dare to walk in holiness the way the Lord Jesus Christ showed us and taught us to walk. Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law by his blood and by the power of the Holy Ghost, putting that want to in my heart. I want to keep his law. I don't keep the Sabbath, brethren. The Sabbath keeps me. I don't have to remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. I want to keep holy the Sabbath day. You will probably have to experience that to fully understand it. I'm not even going to try and explain that to you. It's something you receive by faith, and once you experience it, you'll understand it, and you'd rather have your head chopped off than to have somebody try and take it away from you. Sin leads to curses. Obedience leads to blessing. Try that on a child. Sin leads to curses. obedience leads to blessing. You try that one on a child, and children seem to understand it better than most churchmen. It's incredible how some of the things that get taught by so-called religious teachers can be propagated, and people just don't seem to see what's wrong with this picture. It's the same old lie. Satan's lie that he gave Adam and Eve in the garden has always worked good for him. Well, you'll be more like God if you just disobey God. Brethren, aren't we ashamed of ourselves that we can't see what's wrong with that picture? So what are some of the laws and curses? It's good to start at the beginning. There are curses that if you violate the instruction of God, you end up giving Satan a license to hammer you. I think the first one, believe it or not, is that if you curse or mistreat Jews, you will be cursed. Ouch. Yeah, you better hear this. Any Jew hater, they better hear this. Any Jew haters that thinks he's a Christian is deceived. It's as simple as that. A so-called Christian that hates Jews or blames Jews for the crucifixion is an oxymoron personified, brethren. Yes, you better hear this. If you think the church has replaced Israel, I'm telling you, missing this one can end you up in hell. And we better hear God doing the talking here. The real God, who cannot lie and who does not change. And he says this to Abraham in Genesis 12:3, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. You want to be cursed by God? Man, that's a bad future. Genesis 12:3, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The second witness of the curse tied to this one comes when the reprobate prophet Balaam was caused by God Almighty to give this blessing to the Jews and to all of us who will have ears to hear in Numbers 24:9. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesses thee, and cursed is he that curses thee. That's the word of God, brethren. We better have ears to hear it. There are a list of about 60 such instructions of God to his people, how that we may avoid giving the devil a license to hammer us. There are instructions of God to his people that do have curses tied to them. And once again, I want to remind you that any time you read in the scripture where there is a death penalty tied to a specific offense or transgression or violation of the law, you got to understand that there was a curse tied to that. That's the reason for the death penalty. It was the only way on the other side of the cross that the license for Satan to destroy the people of God could be limited. Now it's a whole new world on the other side of the cross, brethren. Praise God for that. But people who fail to take heed, and brethren, when you look at these list of sins that have the curses tied to it, all of a sudden the light will go on. You'll see why these antichrist governments of the world are pushing the things that they're pushing. Their god is Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And it's very obvious when you see the laws, all of a sudden the agenda of these antichrist Luciferians becomes very clear. And these will give the devil a license to hammer those who violate them. Brethren, if you want the devil to destroy you, just violate these laws. If you want to put the devil in full boogie retreat, if you want to be more than a conqueror over the world, the flesh, and the devil, start keeping these laws, and the blessings of God will overtake you, even in tribulation, brethren. This topic up on the website so that everybody will be able to see these laws and understand this Antichrist world agenda better. And we need to understand that these are not curses that come from hexes or Satanists, brethren. Brethren, these are curses from which the blood of Yeshua and the power of the Holy Ghost should redeem us. We are to be redeemed from the curse of the law. Brethren, these are curses from which the blood of Yeshua and the power of the Holy Ghost should redeem us. But they still depend upon us taking heed to God's instruction and not taking heed to the devil's ministers who tell us God really doesn't mean what he said, who tell us that somehow God changed everything. Brethren, this is what is known as the great falling away from the faith, the great apostasy, the strong delusion. Truly, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of his word. Somebody ought to read the whole of Hosea 4:6. You always hear the first half of that quoted, but look at all of Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6. Now here's another one of those curses. There's a curse against willing deceivers. Understand that most of the devil's ministers today sincerely believe that they are serving God. Yeah, it's true. Most of the devil's ministers, they don't know they're devil's ministers. They really sincerely believe that they are serving God. Most are not willing deceivers. Most are ignorant deceivers. But some are willing deceivers, and a few are both willing and ignorant deceivers. Joshua 9:22, and Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, We are very far from you when you dwell among us. Now therefore you are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him a deceiver, and shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. Brethren, it's time we learn spiritual warfare. There is one and only one way to be free of the curse of the law, and that is by the word, blood, and spirit of Messiah, to get to know the truth. Jesus said, You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the first step of deliverance from anything, is to be able to receive the truth about it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son, who is the truth personified, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Don't listen to false teachers that want to give you a license to sin. They will give the devil a license to hammer and destroy you. Listen to Yeshua, Jesus, who is the truth, whose name is called the Word of God. It needs to be said again, if you have never read the Word of God the way God told us, line upon line, precept upon precept, the way God preserved it and ordered it and purified it 7 times for us in the King James Version Holy Bible, that needs to be your highest priority. Get off the net, get off the TV, get off your duff, and read the King James Version Holy Bible. Make sure you are using the Holy Bible, because most of the curses have been hidden and or removed from the modern non-Holy Bibles today. Non-Holy Bibles are a sure sign of someone who has not studied to show themselves approved unto God on that vital subject. Brethren, the war on the saints is real. If Jesus said there are demons, you better believe the Word of God and not follow the fuds, thuds, and duds to hell. When that fifth trumpet sounds, the particularly bad bunch of demons that were sealed up at the time of Noah's flood will be let loose, and men's hearts will literally fail as they look at some of these fearful things coming. Don't you think it's about time you get ready for this Antichrist war on the saints rather than playing church in pre-trib La La Land and get shocked out of denial when it may be too late to learn what you should know now? All you have to do is listen to that recording of that deliverance service. You were to hear that recording of that deliverance service, you wouldn't have the slightest doubt about the answer to the question, can a Holy Spirit baptized believer have a demon? The question in these perilous times, rather, should be, can I find a Christian without a demon? Brethren, understand this. Sin brings curses. Obedience caused the blessings of God to overtake you. but sin brings curses. And before Yeshua died on the cross for us, curses could not be broken. So every time you see a death penalty tied in to some violation of law, understand there's a curse associated with that law. It's one of the foundational understandings we need to have in this time. And some of those curses would be visited to the third and fourth generation, and some of those curses could be visited to the tenth generation. And this is why the death penalty, because it was the only way to limit the effect of the license to destroy that Satan picked up when people violated these certain laws. Ignorance of spiritual warfare can be very costly in this Antichrist war on the saints. And an important part of the gospel that we need to understand is what Galatians 3:13 is all about. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What a worthy and glorious King of Kings. And by the power of the Word, Blood, and Spirit of Messiah, let us not persist in the deceitfulness of sin and make a mockery of the great finished work of our soon coming King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.